Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, there's no deal done yet, but it's going to happen. MLB and the union agreed to extend the deadline to 5 p.m. on Tuesday after like 17 hours of negotiation on Monday. They made a ton of progress. We got this news in the middle of this episode, and so you're gonna hear me find out this news, and we're going to talk about negotiations, the Derek Jeter news, and what the agreement, the upcoming agreement, will mean for the next week or so of baseball news. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe in all those places and you will never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, although it is just me today. Vince is on a vacation this week. He should be back with me later this week at some point. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and in the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So again, please subscribe to the show wherever you're watching or listening right now. Take a minute to do that. We would appreciate it. And let's talk about the Dodgers. So a little behind the scenes stuff. As of right now, you know more than I do because normally that cold open that starts before the theme music on this episode, normally we record that, you know, in order. We record the theme or the cold open, insert the theme music, record the show because we know what the show is going to be about. Well, this time, as I'm talking to you, it is 11:18 p.m. on Monday night Pacific time, which means we are at 2:18 a.m. in the on the East Coast where the owners and the union are currently meeting. And so I'm recording the cold open at the end because right now my hope as I'm recording this is that while I'm talking to you in the next half hour or so, a deal will get done and we will have that to celebrate. As of right now, I don't know. And so it seems like something's going to happen tonight, and it puts a daily podcast in kind of a tricky situation because, you know, I can't just stay up all night. I have to be up in the morning because I'm talking to Keith Law about his Dodgers prospect list. There's lots of Dodger stuff to talk about. Hopefully there's going to be a lot more Dodger stuff to talk about soon because it seems like there's momentum moving in the direction of a deal getting done. Right before I hit record, Bob Nightingale tweeted that they're heading to round 13 of the back and forth negotiations today. You know, and we're counting it as today, even though it's technically tomorrow on the East Coast where they are. You know, I did a several years ago, I lost a bunch of weight doing, 6 days a week, you don't eat any carbs. And then one day a week, you get a cheat day. And I learned the principle that day that until you go to bed, it's still that day. You know, that was to prolong cheat day. But, you know, it applies to this negotiation too. Until they go to bed, the day hasn't ended. And so, the fact that they have been going at it for, I don't know, 16, 17 hours now, kind of seems like they are all committed to getting it done tonight. At this point, I feel like it would be a shock if they don't get it done tonight. I guess pure exhaustion, they could get tired and they could decide together, okay, let's get 5 hours of sleep and then meet back first thing in the morning and, you know, we'll extend our self-imposed deadline by a day. That could happen, I guess. But it seems like they're all committed to getting it done tonight. And whatever time that is, and it may be daylight by the time they get it done. Hopefully, you know, they're getting closer. And we're going to have plenty of time once we know the details of this deal to talk about, you know, who won, who lost, what are the ramifications. You know, that we saw some reports about how they're tying the expanded playoffs to the league minimum, you know, the rookie minimum and the non-pre-arbitration bonus pool money. And so there were two different proposals from MLB one with a 14-team postseason, one with a 12-team postseason, and obviously the 14-team had higher minimum salaries and higher bonus pools. The 12-team had lower of those. Both of those, though, even the 12-team one, I think both of those numbers, the league minimum and the bonus pool, were a step in the direction of what the players have been asking for. And so we might actually get an actual compromise here, which would be good. Obviously, I feel like the players have a better leg to stand on. And so ideally, the compromise would be a little bit tilted in their favor, especially after they kind of botched the negotiations the last two times. But, you know, it seems like they're going to come to an agreement that everybody can kind of live with, and that will be good. I said on yesterday's episode, you know, I quoted myself from a week or two ago saying what I expected to happen was for things to look hopeless on February 27th and then for them to power through and get it done on February 28th. And things looked hopeless on February 27th, and now they don't. I'm just going to scroll up. I just saw, looks like John Heyman is just reporting the luxury tax threshold discussion is up to about the $230 million mark, which would be a $20 million increase. Uncertain if it could go even higher. That's kind of a big deal, I guess, that the league is finally budging on the luxury tax. That's something that, as I mentioned on yesterday's episode, has been really frustrating that they've been unwilling to budge. And so the fact that they're moving, that's a good thing. So one of the most interesting storylines here tonight has been, you know, the redemption of Bob Nightingale, maybe. I mean, basically, it's just the fact that he is still there. I assume there's other people there. Like, Jeff Passan is usually the most reliable one to break news. And I assume he's there. Maybe he just doesn't feel the need to give the play-by-play. But Bob Nightingale has been, you know, reporting everything every time they go back and forth. They break up to caucus with their own sides, and then they come back together for another meeting and everything. And Bob Nightingale is kind of the go-to source tonight. And it kind of reminds, it's like his Ashley Banfield moment. If any of you remember on 9/11, and I know a lot of you might have been too young to really remember this. I was in college, so I watched the news all day. And Ashley Banfield, I think for MSNBC, she was in the thick of it. And she, by the end of the 9/11 coverage, she was a household name, and it really boosted her career. And obviously, Bob Nightingale's been around for 1,000 years. He doesn't need that career boost. But, you know, maybe a little bit of a reputation redemption here on Twitter. You know, that'll probably only last as long as it takes him to go back to being regular old Bob Nightingale. But for tonight anyway, Monday night, Bob Nightingale is the guy to follow because he, you know, John Heyman has some of the stuff. Heyman, you never really know what to trust from Heyman because he's always been a Scott Boras mouthpiece because they're lovers in the nighttime, supposedly, allegedly. And maybe he's a mouthpiece for ownership because he also works for MLB Network. So you don't know what to trust from him. Nightingale doesn't have those hindrances of the questioned alliances and loyalties. He's just sometimes bad at his job. But tonight he is the one everybody's watching. So I still don't follow him on Twitter, but his stuff keeps getting retweeted and quote tweeted and stuff into my timeline. But it does seem like this tweet from Heyman that recognizing that the league is moving on the luxury tax seems like a good sign. Seems like they're going to get this thing done, and that's good. So even if they don't get it done while we're talking here tonight, like I said, you know already from the cold open whether it happened or not. But even if they don't, it's exciting. So I'm going to come back in a minute. There's actually a little bit of baseball news to talk about with Derek Jeter. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute, and then we'll talk more about the negotiations. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it locked on Dodgers. So, football might be over for this season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC, and everything else. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey, thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. I also want to tell you about Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, so we're back. Nothing happened during the time that I was reading the BetOnline ad, but, you know, we will keep on going. Let's talk a little bit about the actual baseball news. Derek Jeter stepped down as CEO of the Marlins and is divesting his ownership interest in the team. It's a clean break. He is no longer affiliated with the Marlins. Excuse me, I just had to take a drink. If you're watching on YouTube, you saw me taking a drink, but if you were listening on the podcast, you might have wondered why that gap. That's what that was. Derek Jeter, he didn't come out and say, I'm tired of being involved with the Cheapskate organization, but he said basically that the vision for the team going forward isn't the vision that he signed up to be a part of, and so it's time to part ways, which I think the only way really to interpret that is my fellow owners, the people who put most of the money into this team and installed me as the figurehead, they promised me that we were going to spend money to try to make our team good, and now they don't want to do that. And it wouldn't be a shock. The Marlins, the one thing that's constant, no matter who owns the Marlins, they are cheapskates. And it's always been the case, and maybe it always will be the case. Who knows? We had hoped that Derek Jeter might change that. Obviously, in 2020, they kind of got their hopes up. They had a winning record for the first time in 11 years. They made the postseason, even though it was, you know, kind of questionable because they wouldn't have made the postseason in a regular postseason format. But because, you know, 98% of the league made the playoffs or whatever, the Marlins did too. They got swept in the division series. You got this team that they then took a huge step backwards in 2021. They lost, I think, 95 games. They went back to being the Marlins, of what we expect the Marlins to be. And I think Derek Jeter, maybe he got spoiled as part of the Yankees. I mean, the Yankees won the World Series Derek Jeter's rookie year and never really looked back. He won, what, four World Series in his first five seasons or whatever, and was in the World Series other times. He was just, you know, Derek Jeter got spoiled from a very young age. Some of that was his contributions. He was definitely a big star for those Yankees teams. Some of it was luck of the draw. But, you know, the fact is we always wondered when Derek Jeter went joined up with the Marlins, okay, how is he going to handle being part of a losing team? Because he's never really done that before. And it turns out the answer is, well, he could handle it for a few years, but then if they're not committed to getting better, he's going to be done. So we'll see what happens with Derek Jeter. It was interesting timing coming during the lockout as the players are also accusing owners of being cheapskates, and the Marlins are definitely one of those teams that cries poverty all the time. You know, they don't draw well attendance-wise, despite having a beautiful stadium, one of my favorite stadiums. I think it's a very underrated stadium, in my view. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. Beautiful stadium. Beautiful city, obviously, and they just can't draw. And I don't know what the deal is, but Derek Jeter wasn't the answer, apparently, because he is out as co-owner and CEO of the Marlins. So that's our baseball news until we find out. Every time I look over to this side, that's me checking Twitter just to see if anything has happened. We do have a tweet 2 minutes ago from Jeff Passan. There will be no deal on a new collective bargaining agreement in this early hour, sources tell ESPN. Enough progress was made that MLB and the MLBPA will meet again later today in hopes of finalizing one. Deadline to miss regular season games has been moved to 5 p.m. today. All right, that is huge news. And basically, what I said a few minutes ago, that they might decide to just go to bed and continue negotiating in the morning and push that deadline back. That's exactly what happened. And so all of this, it's not like these people are going to walk out of these negotiations singing kumbaya and being best friends. It's been acrimonious and there are going to be hard feelings. It's kind of the nature of the way Major League Baseball works with the union, is that they all kind of hate each other, but they work together because it's in everybody's best interest to work together. And that's what's going to continue to happen here. But it seems like there is real momentum. The fact that they agreed to push the deadline back after last week's "a deadline is a deadline, herder, herder, herder." The fact that they were willing to back off of that and say, you know what, we're making progress. We're willing. It probably just comes down to, I think we'll all do better at this if we all get some sleep. And so they push the deadline back, which makes a lot of sense. One day doesn't actually make a difference. They don't have to cancel one day of games because they're one day late on the deadline. You know, whether you shorten spring training by a day, you know, whatever it is, you know, everybody now, I think the union can probably start notifying their members, hey, we're getting a deal done on Tuesday, so get your plane tickets, get to Arizona or Florida because spring training starts on Wednesday. And so it's not like, I think if they are confident they can get a deal done today, Tuesday, they could still start spring training the same exact moment that they would have if they had gotten a deal done Monday night. So, you already knew this was going to happen because the cold open told you so. I'm now caught up with you. We now know, unless there's another major development that I throw into the cold open after the fact, maybe I'm still in the dark. Who knows? But all in all, as a baseball fan, like, it's nice to feel some hope because, like I said yesterday, it was the darkest hour before the morning or whatever. It was a very hopeless thing. Like, there's no way they're going to get this done. And now we can actually feel like there's no way they're not going to get this done. And that's a really good feeling right now. Something we need as baseball fans. I said on Twitter, like, if they had missed this deadline and actually missed games because of this lockout, it is going to be a bigger pain to them than whatever negotiation, because there will be fans who wouldn't come back if there were games missed. Some of us will. Even me, I am a diehard baseball fan, lifelong Dodger fan. I own season tickets, despite the fact that I live 661 miles from Dodger Stadium. I do a daily podcast about the Dodgers. Like, you know, I know it's not a contest, but I love the Dodgers more than anybody I know. And even me, earlier today, I was like, maybe I just need to cancel my season tickets. And I don't know. I guess, do I have to keep doing the podcast? Like, it was actually making me question my fandom. Like, okay, if these owners, reading the reports on Tuesday or Monday, I mean, that the owners were willing to miss the first month of the season in order to win this negotiation. It's like, why am I giving you my money? If you're willing to, and make no mistake, while the lockout is going on, credit card machines still work. I have still been charged for my season tickets. The Dodgers are holding tens of thousands of dollars of my money right now that I have paid for my 2022 season tickets. And the fact is, you know, they only shut down the things that it was advantageous to them to shut down. They still took my money. And if they, like, there's that disconnect there. Like, do you really care so little about us, the fans, that you're willing to take our money and then say, F you guys, you know, we're going to miss the first month of the season? So that was like, I was getting angry. And I was like, maybe I will just cancel my tickets and just, you know, maybe I'll take a couple of years off from going to Dodger games. I don't know. And like, now this feeling, it doesn't replace. I think there's going to be lingering resentment from some people, but the fact that they're going to get it done and not miss any regular season games, I feel like that soothes that pain a little bit and will help us who are feeling that way say, okay, yeah, it sucks. Hopefully they learn from this, but no harm done. In the end, you know, all we just had a boring off season. And honestly, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to do this in the next segment because I think this is what I want to talk about to end this episode. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about what the next week or so might look like because it's going to be crazy. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it locked on Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar for a minute. You know, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world. Tastes like a candy bar, but it's healthy for you. They also make Built Puffs that are basically chocolate covered marshmallows that are also ridiculously healthy and delicious. It's crazy. Built Bar starts with delicious first, and then they say, okay, we got delicious down, now let's make it healthy. And they find a way, by the end product, everything is low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high protein, and high fiber. All the good stuff, none of the bad stuff, and all delicious. So if you know what kind of Built Bar you like, order what you like. If you don't know, order a mix box. They'll send you like 2 of 9 different flavors. You can see what you like and then place your next order for exactly what you like. Try some Built Puffs too. Whatever you buy, just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And if you're ever in the market for auto parts, go to rockauto.com. Do not go down to the auto parts store. I promise you, rockauto.com will save you time and money. Those are the two best things in the world, time and money. Rockauto.com will save you those compared to going down to the auto parts store. You know, real world example, I needed new shocks on my Suburban, and the dealership charged me just for parts, or they quoted me $1,600 just for parts and over $2,000 total, the labor to replace them and stuff. Instead, I ordered them on Rock Auto, and it was like $350 total for the parts. So it saved me well over $1,000 on the parts. And yeah, I still had to pay somebody to install them, but I saved $1,000. And now I don't know if you're going to save $1,000. Maybe on some of those big ticket items you will, but you're going to save money. You're going to save time, and it's convenient. You can do it from your house because it's just a website. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It's now 11:38 p.m. Pacific time. Jeff Passan followed up when he, after his tweet that saying they were going to be done for the night and pick it up tomorrow, he says, "Reminder, jabronis, I tweet when there's news and I don't sleep." I like Jeff Passan on Twitter. Good first name, too. Ken Rosenthal says the two sides continue talking and have made definite progress, but large gaps remain in major areas. Sources tell The Athletic, parties now calling it a night. Just scrolling a little bit. Looks like, yeah, that's about everything there is news-wise right now. Oh, Jeff Passan also says, also, Bob rules. So even Jeff Passan is on the Bob Nightingale train tonight. So let's talk about what the next few days are going to look like. Assuming that they do come to an agreement on Tuesday, they get this done, we start spring training Wednesday-ish, you know, or get them to spring training ASAP. Well, there are a lot of free agents out there. You know, I mentioned on yesterday's episode, I was talking about the Dodgers starting pitching, and there are big question marks. We don't know if Clayton Kershaw is going to be on the Dodgers. We don't know what trades the Dodgers are going to make. We know that the Dodgers have work to do on their starting rotation, and we don't know what's going to happen. You know, Jock Peterson tweeted out tonight that once this deal gets done, it's just going to be a frenzy on free agency and trades and everything. And honestly, like, yeah, it sucks that it had to come to this, but I feel like that is going to be the best thing to make us feel better about how crappy we felt the last couple months. You know, feeling like nobody cares about us. It doesn't change the fact that the owners don't care about us, that they're willing to skip a month of the season just to win their negotiation with no regard for us as baseball fans. It doesn't change any of that, but we're going to get a ton of transactions. We're going to get a ton of baseball news. Like Vince and I, when we come to do this podcast, it's not going to be like, okay, what can we find to talk about today? It's going to be like, how are we going to fit these 18 things into a 30-minute episode? That's what it's going to be like. And that is going to help us not forget the frustration, but move past it. And, I think, you know, Joe Kelly, we mentioned him last week that he had said in an interview that he wants to come back to the Dodgers and the interest is mutual. So that's going to happen. Kenley Jansen is still a free agent. Is he coming back to the Dodgers? You know, one of the teams that people thought he might go to was the Marlins. Well, if Derek Jeter really just resigned because the Marlins don't want to spend money, does that mean Kenley's not going to the Marlins? So then it's like, okay, what about the Phillies? I mean, they signed Corey Knebel. He could be their closer, but maybe they still want Kenley Jansen. But Kenley wants to come back to the Dodgers maybe. You know, are they going to want to pay him? Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is a huge question mark. And then the trades, you know, and well, Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman's a huge one. Freddie Freeman is a free agent. The Braves haven't so far before the lockout wanted to give him what he wants. Hopefully the Dodgers will do it. So, and then, you know, if they do sign Freddie Freeman, well, that makes Gavin Lux expendable, maybe a little bit in a trade. You know, who knows what it's going to be, but there's going to be so much going on, so much that we can talk about, and so much excitement around baseball, which will be really good. It's not like it's actually more excitement. It's just taking all the excitement that's supposed to be spread out over 4 months of the offseason and lumping it into a couple days. You know, we're going to, the next week is going to be crazy. And it doesn't make anything better, but it makes it feel better. And sometimes that's good enough. New deadline as, Rosenthal just reiterating the 5 p.m. Eastern time deadline. So I think our main takeaways from tonight, one, Jeff Passan is the news guy. He is the one to go to. If you only follow one baseball person, like national baseball person, it probably ought to be Jeff Passan because he tweets the important stuff. You don't get the rumors. You don't get the incorrect tweets about the Padres are about to trade for Max Scherzer. You don't get all that stuff, but you get the news and you get it right when it's actually true. So that's one takeaway. The redemption of Bob Nightingale is still intriguing to me. The fact that so many people were following his every move or his every tweet about the owner's every move, I guess. There's a lot going on. That Bob Nightingale, you know, we'll see what it's like tomorrow. You know, he's, like I said, it's only going to last until he messes up again. But for now, Bob Nightingale, everybody loves him tonight. So that's about all I have for today. You know, it's one of those episodes that there's not a lot of news, but it's kind of fun to be a part of this together with you guys, getting this news together, even though you're not going to listen to it maybe until the morning. It's going to be live by, you know, about 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, maybe even sooner than that. But, you know, it's still fun to do this. This is news that affects all of us. It's not important. Remember, baseball is the most important, unimportant thing in the world. It's not technically important in the grand scheme of things, but we love our baseball. And it seems like, fingers crossed, we're going to get our baseball on schedule. And that's a good thing. And spring training will be a little bit shorter than usual. And that's probably a good thing, too. So that's going to do it for me today. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means the world to us. We love talking Dodgers with you. We love knowing that you guys like listening to it. We would love to hear your thoughts. Also, for your second listen today, check out Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. I'm on that show sometimes, if that is a selling point for you. But yeah, we would love to hear your thoughts, ideas, questions, anything you have. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.